Morning.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today?
It's Monday after a bad cold snap this weekend. Now we're going to be 80 degrees.
We're going to be like 60 today, which is crazy.
I know. Well, I'm pretty sure somebody is playing with the thermostat.
Yes, I think so. I think so. Oh, Katie, I have an embarrassing question to ask you before anyone outside of Missouri joins the call. How do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, Ramon.
That's what I was going to say, but I'm glad I asked, just
Yeah.
in case. Oh,
Been battling postmen. We had like a team, right? There was two of us, and then they said that's not going to be free anymore, right? So we're gonna you have to upgrade for like $19 a month. And then, okay, we're like, well, just say I'll have my own. And like the team kind of remained, but only one person has admin access and one person is read only. And the read only is literally read only. I can't like run a query, I can't do anything. So I've just been so frustrated this morning. Because that's
Oh,
what I wanted to do, and I'm like, why? Nothing's working.
that is so frustrating. Well, we just went live on Sunflower this morning, so that was exciting. And so far, so good. But I swear, the long list of things you have to do when you go live on a new upgrade is like, it feels like it's getting longer. Like, check these integrations, make all these, and now everybody needs to set up a new account by getting a new password. And I'm hoping this was just especially hard because of the back end change, but.
So no smoke pouring out of the
Not yet. I can't search for course reserves, but that's the only thing so far. I think somebody just hasn't pinged their key cloak to set up their new password on the integration account.
Yeah, I had all the devs go in and change their passwords or update their passwords the morning of for all their integration, so that helped. And I got a message like, "Oh, I can't connect. I can't connect," from one of our staff members. And I'm like, "What are you trying to do? It's what's the username?" And they gave me a username. I'm like, "There's no username in training, test, or production under that. Like, are you sure?" I got a message from another one. Like, sorry, they're trying to set up a new integration, and they didn't realize they had to set up Infolio
Oops.
first. I was like, "Okay, that explains it. Good. It wasn't my fault."
Terrific. All right. Well, welcome everyone. Nice to see you all. Here it is nice and sunny for the first time in a long time, and I'm not complaining. We are in daylight savings time. Unless anybody's from British Columbia, this is a temporary situation. Apparently, British Columbia has decided to forget the US. They're not waiting for the Western states to stay in daylight time. They're just going on their own, which I
Yes,
completely appreciate. And
we did
there.
that.
All right, Olga, you're in BC. I forgot.
Yep,
I'm so
that
proud of you. Walk
was
away. We can do, don't wait, because who knows when the
where
US will get
no,
connected on that.
we got that law in 2019, so we were waiting for 7 years. time to
I'm
move
sorry. I'm sorry for my country folk.
on.
Well, I hope it goes well.
Yes.
I have wanted to do it, although I'm never sure which time I want to stay in. Like, depends on what time of the year you
Exactly.
ask. As someone who has always lived on the eastern edge of a time zone, DST is the way to go. But if you're on the western edge of the time zone, this is the problem, right? The time
Yes.
zones are very large, and it really does make a difference.
Think we would all adjust if we did it, though. Just pull the plug.
One way or another.
Yeah, exactly. We'd complain bitterly, but what else is new?
I mean, granted, we did try that in the seven in for like 6 months in the 70s, and then just said no. Everybody hated it, and they all moved back.
Well, we'll see. Olga will have to report back sometime in the, December. Tell us what you think.
Well, in another bit of trivia, Afghanistan operates on a 30-minute plus time zone. So everyone else is different by an hour. They're off by 30 minutes compared to all their neighbors.
That's terrible. Oh, all right. Well, let's get started here at 11:05. We have a few agenda items today. I am going to start with our most exciting news, though, which is that we are getting a new co-convener. And I am so excited to announce that Katie Rahman from the University of Missouri is going to be stepping in to take over for Cornelia. We are really, really excited. Katie's the systems librarian at the University of Missouri. And you all have been on Folio since summer 2022, is that right? That's the same as our timeline. So hard to believe it's been almost 4 years. But and was part of the implementation team there in a complex organization. So we're really happy to have her stepping in. And she will start next Monday taking over some of Cornelia's things, including taking attendance and things like that on our agenda. We'll hear lots more about Katie, but I want to take a moment to just thank Cornelia for all the time and energy she's given this project as a co-convener for many years. And I'm so grateful for her support, helping me get organized and settled into the co-convenership when I came on last January. And she's graciously agreed to help us continue the JIRA ticket review and helping keep track of all the decisions we make in those meetings, which I appreciate. We're getting very close in that meeting to being done. I'm thinking two or three more meetings, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We don't want you to be stuck with that job forever, Cornelia. So thank you to both of you. It's really exciting to have some new energy and new ideas. And just a reminder that nothing that we do is set in stone here. It is entirely flexible. And so we can, if things that we're doing now aren't working anymore, we can always think about how to make them better going forward. So, our a few things about upcoming meetings next week. This Thursday, rather, Tom, you are on for FeeFine Working Group, yes? She says,
Sure.
hopefully. Awesome.
Sure, why not?
Why not? And then next Monday, if we don't get to the SIG description rewrite that we had started last month, then which we may not have time for, we will do that next Monday. Unless something more urgent comes up. And then next Thursday, we will continue our JIRA ticket review. Just a reminder that calendar comming is in effect. So the last week, the last Monday of March, and the first Thursday of April will be part of that week. Yeah, I think that's it for calendaring. Anything else announcement wise? Okay. So our first agenda item is to talk about WolfCon. So WolfCon is coming up in at a very terrible time, unfortunately. End of August, beginning of September. It's literally like over the whatever, the 29th, the 1st, or something like that, which is not ideal for some higher ed institutions, but that's what it is. But it will be in Prague, which I think people are excited about. I will not be there in person, but I will be there remotely. And we have to come up with any presentations or sessions that we want to have, whether those are just meetings or actual presentations. We will, I think we have until the 25th of March to submit those. So this is a brainstorming session about that. I also brought over into our agenda our things that we talked about at our post-conference meeting last year, about things, feedback that folks had about improving the experience for each other. One of the takeaways from that meeting that people were disappointed with is that depending on where our sessions land in the program, people didn't know who their people were until like later in the conference, like later when the first resource access event happened. And that it there were a couple of ideas about how we might address that. One is to was to have ribbons that people could wear that designated their interest special interest group so that you could kind of look around and find people. Another idea was to have table tents during the first keynote. So when people show up at the very first thing, you could have table tents with the what your area of interest is. And another was to kind of let folks know that people would be gathering somewhere during one of the breaks. So some of these are ideas that we can share with the program planning committee that could be applied across all the SIGs, not just ours. And if there's no interest in that, then we could potentially do even the table tent with the SIG at the keynote, somebody could just do like, and we could just tell folks that we're going to do it. So some of these, even if we don't get buy-in from the whole group, we could at least do, there are some things I think we could do on our own just to help each other find each other, if that makes sense. So what thoughts, any thoughts about any of that or ideas about topics that folks want to talk about? I know it seems like a long way away. Are there things that people would like to see, even if they're not the one that would be presenting necessarily?
At One WolfCon, we had like show and tell where several people shared their folio settings. And it was more like go around and chat with people, but this is hard to do for remote participants, but it was really successful.
When was that in?
22, I think.
And was it primarily about how people were configuring when they were implementing? Or,
Yes.
yeah, okay. Tom, do you expect to have anything that you are going to want to do? I mean, I know it's 6 months away. It's hard to imagine, but for fees and fines.
Not sure.
Not sure.
I have Lord Daniel suggested, and I have to talk to her. So we're talking about doing two different presentations already. One is possibly about the migration of our medical school into our current version, our current installation of Folio, because it's a little bit unique. Not that many people that we know of have done an integration of a new library into an existing Folio instance. The
Nice.
other one we were looking at doing is around item statuses, is working with CrossApp to find the pain points and doing a presentation on that.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not sure. And I also have to see if I can actually go.
Right.
Especially since all our gas prices just went up by what? How much? 50 cents over the last 3 days?
Who knows? That might last a minute. It might last 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, those sound good. I think the item status issue will definitely be something that's of interest to RA folks.
So I might be getting, I'm misremembering, but wasn't there like some talk of changing how the circulation rule table to make it more user friendly? I'm not sure the who is the product owner for that, but I thought they were working on that, but maybe I have that wrong.
So I
There's.
did throw out a few ideas, but
Oh, okay.
circulation rules and the interface falls under Stephanie Bach.
Definitely bug. Okay.
I know that there was a, we have talked about it here, and there was a ticket. I mean, there was some suggestion of making it easier. I think one of the things that has gotten in the way is that the thinking about the bang for the buck that most of the people that had already slogged through it were like, okay, it's basically set. So when you have it done, it's sort of like, how do you make it better for future folks? But it's also a one and done sort of situation where people felt like there were things that we're using every day that would have a higher level of impact. So I think it definitely was not at the front burner for things that could get updated. Although I definitely think it's challenging to use. And Tom did
Yeah.
have some good ideas about how it could be improved. Scott?
Well, this may go a little bit off topic. One thing I thought would always be a big help is to actually be able to do like a test trace on a the circulation rules. You select a patron, select an item, and you just say, okay, what loan rule would it pick using this? And it'll tell you which loan rule on the table matched on that. That make it easier for a lot of the libraries that have very big rule sets are ones they don't check very often. And it would help with some diagnosing things if you try to solve things pretty quickly.
I feel like we had a tool like that when we implemented. It was really old. I can't remember who.
Aaron, I was gonna say Aaron from Duke had I think it was a Python script or something of that nature that she wrote that would go through and walk the rules, I think. But there's also, if you go back to like dig way back in the YouTube archives, there is some initial UI mock-ups of what circulation rules should have, and there was something in there of that nature where I think you gave it a barcode and it went through and told you what circulation rules would be applied and what other ones were considered or something of that nature. It's like way back. Way before my years.
Yes.
Well, it's a shame it can't be updated. I can see a Python script being adapted, but something as a built-in tool for anybody at the circ desk or running rules to actually check it would probably be a better approach.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert. Can you tell us a little bit more? What do you know about that, the one that Kyle's working on?
I could look for chat history on it. I think he tends to do things in kind of compact local scripts that you could use PowerShell for, that kind of thing. His kind of ethos tends to be pro sharing, so I don't know if he's got that already started in the community GitHub space or anything, but maybe I'll post a summary if I can find some useful history of it.
Well, thank you. All right.
So, yeah. So the question I'm asking myself is, do we plan like advanced, yeah, advanced stuff for people that already are on Folio to present, or can we go a step back and maybe explain some basic stuff in depth for libraries that are new to Folio? Offer something like a introduction workshop in I don't know, calendar we had 1 year, or title level requests or whatever.
Yeah, I'm curious
I
about
don't
what
know.
the audience is that we're, I don't know who the target audience is likely to be. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if folks who have been on Folio for a few years are more likely to be there, or folks who are just coming on, or folks who are not even using Folio yet, because I feel like last year it was kind of a mix. There were a lot of people that had just sort of come on because Mobius had just come on, so there was a huge number of folks from Missouri, which made total sense. But I'm not sure what's going to make sense across the pond and who to anticipate.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can tell you the workshops, one of the most popular ones is the one that Tara led, which was basically a Folio boot camp or training. That was a half day one. And as I said, we're looking for workshops. So if anyone would like to lead a workshop for half a day or a day on circulation rules and policies and how to set all that up and how they interact, I actually think a lot of people, even people that are currently running Folio, might be interested in that. I would do it, but I get to run around and do other things. So,
I was going to say, and you also tend to overbook yourself. I'm just going to say that.
hence the reason why I said, like, oh, I have two other presentations, and I'm just gonna
Exactly.
look at those for right now because I'm gonna get pulled into 20 other things. I know I am, so.
Right. Oh, I like Katie's suggestion.
Yeah. An introduction to notices and stiff slips. Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah, I
but
think
this
that.
is not enough for a workshop. But we
No,
could do
I
this
don't think a workshop.
as a sick presentation.
But it could be. Yeah, it could be. Who would want to do such a thing? I wonder. What do you think we could
I would be
get?
willing to join someone to prepare.
Was going to say, I wonder if we can get Julie to come back.
Absolutely. I was going to say if. So, I mean, because I need them, or we need them. If you are interested in doing a workshop, there's a 4-hour slot and a full day slot. And I know last year there was a stipend that was given out to people who did teach them. So, I mean, I honestly think you could spend easily 4 hours on going through the circ rules and all the policies and that sort of thing if you were interested in doing something on Monday. I know it's a shameless plug, but I can't help myself.
It's fine.
I think that's a good idea, and I don't know if I would be able to go, but I would be interested in working on it with someone else, not by myself, since I'm kind of the person that does all the circulation rules for a consortium because I made it so complicated that other people don't want to go in there. But I think that's a good idea. I think it's one of the most confusing things about, when you're being set up on how to go through that and make that work for you, and also for troubleshooting, like Scott said, how to figure that out. maybe have that as part of it as well. But I don't think I could do it on my own if someone else wanted to help and join me, just to make sure, double check that my everything I'm doing, saying and doing is correct.
I think we do also have folks stepping into positions. If Volio's been around long enough that someone new is stepping into that thing that someone else has created. And I think you would have people say, please help me understand what I'm seeing here. And from my perspective, working with new libraries, I do think there is often that question of what really is the best practice. And often the answer is it depends on what you're looking for. Do you patron groups and then material types? Do you bother with loan types or not? Do you do things at a certain level of the locations hierarchy? Do you repeat, row by row with the plus saying this plus that, this plus that? So it's more like viewable, but less maybe elegant, or do you do a row with exceptions? So I do think we could at least talk through what some of the principles are and what some of the trade-offs would be. And when I say we, I mean people that will be at WolfCon, but
So I would be totally happy to do a workshop or a session with someone, either the circulation rules workshop or the notices session. Together with anyone who is willing, but you need to be in person for the workshops, I think.
Yes, there. Well, let me put it, there should be at least one person there. Last year for Link Data, and I'm gonna mutilate his name, and I really apologize for that. Avero, I believe that's his name. He did have a few people from the National Library of Sweden that did Zoom in to help with some of the co-teaching of that workshop. So as long as there's one person there teaching, helping with the in-person part, all the participants have to be in person, though. We don't allow virtual participants in the workshops. But and since I'm actually kind of the coordinator for it, I can also help make exceptions.
I'm muted. I'm hearing interest in a circulation rules workshop as a possible thing that Cornelia would help with. Katie, did you say you are also willing to help with the workshop aspect for
Yes.
circulation rules? Okay. Great. That's amazing. If and those are how long are those, Tom? They're half day. The workshops, I assume. Yeah, I think you said 4 hours.
Yeah, there's two choices. There's a half day workshop, which is usually like 9 to 12, and then full day, which is the 9 to 12 session, and then 1 to 4.
Gotcha.
So,
I can't imagine it would take a whole day.
it depends on how much you want to get in depth. I mean, if you're covering the circulation rules plus also like fee fine policies, notice policies, and other stuff, you might be able to fill an entire day session with it. It's not much, but it's complicated. So.
True, if you want to go in depth with all the age to lost. Yeah. And people will need time to practice. It could be a full day, yeah.
Yeah, just going over fee fines will take half a day.
Right, yes. Yeah. Oh, Katie, let's prepare something. And whoever wants to join us.
I would be so I'm going to be I mean going to be attending virtually, so I could be on, I don't know, I can help in whatever way I can help virtually, whether that's to be an extra person to be, giving. I imagine with something like this, there might be, individual working time. So if it would help to have somebody else that could be one-on-one helping, talking with someone, I could do that or whatever. So just let me know. And then the notices and staff slip session probably could just be a session. And I'd be happy to work on that with someone who's in person, but I can ask, I could ask Julie if she is going to be around or if she's, I know she's not doing PO anymore, but I'm curious if she'd be interested in having a session. Or if there's anyone else who's interested in offering a session like that. I do think that is something that folks, either if you haven't implemented yet or you implemented, but then you have, you're interested in revamping your notices or whatever, it could be a useful thing to do. Do we want to have a general RA SIG session or a placeholder that we just put in so that we have a time and space allotted? I have to say I'm ambivalent about it because it is hard to hold like a business meeting in a hybrid environment. However, if we want to have a space, a lot can happen between now and then. So having a designated time and space is, I think, is advisable. Thoughts on that?
I agree that might be helpful, but would be better to have a topic until then to just not do a regular meeting, but decide on a topic that can be discussed
Right.
hybrid, like we did years before.
Yeah. Well, I can put in a general request for a slot, and then when it gets closer, we can come up with a topic that or anything that arises that we think would be better to have in a more in-person environment. Or hybrid environment. Well, if others come up with ideas for what they would like to either present on, I will also send this out on Slack so that folks can weigh in on either things they would like to present on or things that they would like to hear about. We will go from there. All right. Thanks, everyone. Cornelia, you had the next item about adding a service point discovery display name as a notice token.
Oh, yes. Just for a short visualization, I share my screen. So, service points do have a folio name, and they do have a discovery display name. And usually what you see in WooFind in your patron's account or when you request something, it's the discovery display name. But the for as a token for the patron notice, like for this is waiting for you, it's just a folio name. So you can have like two quite different names making available to patrons, and I haven't found a ticket to make a discovery display name a notice token. And yeah, are there any objections if I put a Jira in, and why didn't this bother anyone before?
I don't know why it didn't bother anyone before, but it's funny that well, when you first said there's a discovery display name, I was sort of thinking, why would the service point ever display in Discovery. It's really on the user account, right? Like when you have a pickup, when you select a pickup location, is that the only place that it would show in a public environment?
Yeah, it's like when you click on the request button and then have to choose where to get it from, and then on your in your account, like your requested items.
Would show. Okay. Interesting.
Yep. So yeah, it would be in my, yeah, exactly in that situation. That's where it shows up. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it makes sense. We should always, whenever there's a Discovery display name, I think that should be possible as a token.
Yeah, I don't have any objections to writing that up.
This reminds me of I was just reminded recently that you can't write circulation rules by service point, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I'd love to have a
I
situation.
had a brilliant solution that required it to be locked down to a specific service point. Didn't work.
I'd love to do other things in the circulation rules, like service points, but also bring in custom fields for the user records and other pieces of data to actually have it almost like it's more of a query language than the way it is now, but needs to be more flexible.
And more usable, my mere mortals.
Yeah, one of the ideas I had was using a drop down menus, almost similar to what they did with the data export for the Bursar transfer, but a little bit more simpler. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Robert, for putting that in the chat. That's good. Maybe that's something you can use, Scott, for the checking of certain rules.
Sure, I can take a look at it.
Awesome. All right. Let's see, it's 11:36. Do we want to take a stab at the description or not? I'm ambivalent. I did let Gemini take a crack at it. It's a little bit it sounds like it was written by AI. So I did take our original description and put in the discussion that we had, or like the takeaways of what we said we wanted it to do better. It's a little fluffy, so I'm torn about what is the best way forward, whether we should. I don't really want to group edit in a meeting setting, but I'm curious what folks think about having either creating a Google Doc and inviting folks to weigh in on it, or what is the best approach to rewriting our description? Do people have thoughts about the preferred approach? I don't love the group editing in a committee meeting, sort of. I find it very painful. But, or we could just have a couple people look at it on the side. That's the other thing, is assigning a subcommittee is always another option. I'm curious how people would like to approach that. I know it's not rising to the top of anyone's to-do list. All right. I guess I will make a document and send it out in advance of our next meeting. So, well, I'll do it soon so that folks have time to look at it and make comments on it. I'll do it on a Google Doc so everyone can add their comments or thoughts. And then we can talk about it at next week's meeting. Does that sound like a reasonable approach? Okay.
Sure, it does.
Okay, thank you. All right. Anything else anyone wants to share? Oh, I think I forgot to say this before. I wanted to remind folks that we are using AI for minutes of the meetings. So I think we've caught up on all the older meetings. I went back and did a bunch of them. We can either use the Zoom AI, which, if we turn on the Zoom AI, it generates a synopsis of our meeting, which Peter Murray sends to us at the conclusion of the meeting. And then I go through and clean it up and make sure it doesn't get something mortally wrong. The other way that it can happen if we don't turn on the Zoom AI is that I can download the transcript and the chat transcript and put them through Gemini at Amherst College, which is an institutional account, so it doesn't go back to train the model. It's just held internally, and then I clean those up. So those are the two methods that AI minutes could be generated, just so folks know. And I do have a caveat at the top that they are AI generated so that folks know that might not be exactly precise, but it's still better than asking for a minute taker, which some of you may know is like pulling teeth. Nobody wants to be the minute taker, even if we rotate it. So it's better than no minutes, sort of how I was thinking. And that way, you can, if you get a general idea of what was discussed in each and the decisions, then at least you could go back and watch the recording if you wanted to get more detail. Yeah, David.
I was gonna say, yeah, personal experience. They're fine. I would say they do definitely still require a note taker, or not a note, a note cleaner upper, as you pointed out, Susan. You've got to go through and, like, correct, either obvious. Sometimes there's just a little bit of a hallucination. Often it's more just like a mishearing. Like, I think in a recent one we were talking about Aeon, the Atlas Systems special collections module, and it was saying AI. Like, they were talking about integrations with AI, and I didn't know what was happening because I had missed that meeting. And they said, "Oh no, we were talking about Aeon."
Yeah, and I did go back and do some older ones, and it was a lot harder doing them from December. I was like, what did we talk about? So my plan going forward is to grab them. We just got Gemini institutionally, and I did not want to be putting it up just out into the ether. So I waited until we had Gemini here at Amherst, and now we do. So at least there's that piece that makes it a little bit easier. So any other questions, thoughts? And at any point, if anybody doesn't want the AI to be doing it, they can volunteer to do minutes. That's fine. But we do want to definitely, if folks want to opt out, that we do have that at the top of our of our agenda so that folks are aware. All right. Anything else before we break? Okay. Thank you, everyone. And we will see some of you on Thursday to talk about fees and fines. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Have a good
Have a good day,
day.
everyone.